Well, thanks, Dr. Richmond, Dr. Adrallis, the college. It truly is an honor to be here and talk about a topic that I think probably does not get enough attention when we talk about new technology and new procedures and even surgeons doing procedures that they haven't done in the past. So we're going to talk about the learning curve. I do have some financial disclosures with some mesh companies and Intuitive that are relevant. The objectives, I think, and I'm going to start, and I know we're supposed to talk about all three of these techniques, but I'm going to use open inguinal hernia as sort of the gold standard in when we talk about learning curve. And I think that's fair based on some of the data you heard before. At least in the United States, about 85% of our cases we're doing are open inguinal hernias. And I think that's for sure probably one of the most commonly taught cases in residency. So I use that as sort of the gold standard when we talk about learning curve. So we're really going to hit on the learning curve of laparoscopic as well as robotic inguinal hernia repair. And I really am going to try to show you why I think learning curve is important and we should all know about this. We'll talk about laparoscopic learning curve as well as robotic learning curve. Scott talked about this study, and I'm going to talk about this in a different way, but to me this study was really a landmark study for inguinal hernia repair, and really for laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair. It was a randomized controlled trial, large number of surgeons, and what they showed at the time, this is back in 2004, was that they had a higher recurrence rate for laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair of 10% versus the open group of 4. And I really think, and one of their conclusions from this was the open technique was superior. And I really think this put a dagger in laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair, and maybe one of the reasons, cost may be one of the reasons, but this article may be one of the reasons why it hasn't taken off as well in the United States. But I think we have to delve deeper, and they did delve deeper in subset analysis of this. And what this shows, and there's a lot of words on here, but basically what they showed is the majority of their surgeons in this trial had done less than 250 cases. And in those surgeons, they had a higher recurrence rate of over 10%. But if you looked at the surgeons that had done 250 cases before starting this trial, they had very good outcomes, and those outcomes were equivalent to the recurrence rate outcomes of patients doing open surgery. And so what this really is telling us, and I think we all know, is that laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair is an extremely difficult case to learn, and it's a hard surgery to learn. And basically what they said is a highly experienced laparoscopic inguinal hernia surgery is somebody that's done 250 repairs. And I know inguinal hernia is a common operation, but if you're in a busy general surgery practice, that may take you 5 or 6 years to get up to a competency, which I think most of us, if we're doing open inguinal hernia repair, that may not be worth it in our career. So thankfully, since there's time, I think that number's probably a little overblown, although I think it's important to remember that. There's been a lot of other studies looking at the learning curve for laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair, and really what you get is you get a hodgepodge with some, the lowest anybody ever looks at is about 14 to 15 cases of laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair, and most of the studies say somewhere around 50 to 60 cases is really what we're looking at, where you get the most bang for your buck in the learning curve. Well, how about the robotic inguinal hernia repair? And again, the data is sort of forthcoming, but I think it's important to look at some of this. This technique, which I know you're mostly, is based on the TAP inguinal hernia repair. And there are some things that we need to be aware of. So why are we talking about robotic inguinal hernia at all? Scott talked to you a little bit about the cost associated with this. But whether people are looking at cost or their learning curve or whatever they're doing, robotic inguinal hernia, people are doing this, and people in the community are doing this, and you can see that this is being used. So there's several questions, and I think when you look at learning curve, these are the questions that I have, and I really think it depends on what type of surgeon you are. And are you an open surgeon that's trying to learn minimally invasive surgery and going straight to the robot? Or are you a lap TEP surgeon that's going to switch to a robotic TAP? Or are you a laparoscopic TAP surgeon that's going to switch to a robotic TAP? And I think all those have different learning curves. Again, we don't have all the data for that, but we have some data. And then at the end of the day, and this is the biggest question I'd love to answer, is can the robotic technology decrease that learning curve for minimally invasive inguinal hernia surgery and maybe tip the bar of less than 85% of cases being done in the United States? Because I think there is some benefit to minimally invasive inguinal hernia repair, and we're working on that. This is a study from a big group. Dr. Dickens is in the audience, I believe. But this is really actually a great study. And what they did is they compared robotic TAP to open inguinal hernia repair. And obviously, they're looking for outcomes. And I'll show you a little bit about the outcomes. But I think this is something where these surgeons, this was their first 100 cases of robotic inguinal hernia repair. I'm not going to belabor the details on the outcomes because you've heard a little bit about that, but basically this was a matched population of open inguinal hernia repairs compared to robotic inguinal hernia repairs, very similar demographics and very similar outcomes. There was even slightly decreased complications, 30-day complications in a robotic group, but in general, very good outcomes on both sides, open inguinal and robotic inguinal. But the important thing for me for this, when you're looking at the learning curve, is out of the seven surgeons in the study, three of them had no minimally invasive or very little minimally invasive experience. And so you're taking an open surgeon, and we know this minimally invasive surgery, laparoscopic inguinal, is hard, but you're taking these surgeons that have never done this before, and you can see less than 1%, 10% of their cases, and they had good outcomes using the robot. And so their conclusion, it is a reproducible operation, even for the surgeon that's going from an open operation that doesn't have the laparoscopic skills. This is unpublished data from Intuitive, but you can see this is an open surgeon going to a robotic, and you can see after somewhere around 60 cases, he's definitely decreased his operative time. Well, how about the lap TEP surgeon? And for all of you guys that keep up with inguinal hernia, we've had bazillion debates on laparoscopic TEP versus laparoscopic TAP and which is better, and there's tons of meta-analysis. And there's people on both sides of the aisle that will fight you if you tell them the one's wrong. But this is a TEP surgeon that's converting to a robotic TAP. And so just by that means that there may be something out there with this robotic technology as we're getting a TEP surgeon to switch to a TAP. This is Yusuf Kuzi's data. He's a very experienced robotic surgeon. But what he did was look at his TEP operations, over 100 cases, and compared those to his initial robotic TAPs. And again, I won't go over the details of the study, but from a learning curve standpoint, I think it's important to remember all of these procedures have learning curve, and I don't care how much minimally invasive surgery you've done, how much anything. But you can see here his numbers, and they're pretty good. These are OR times for a robotic versus his lap TEP. And his conclusions were really that there was no difference, that he averaged about 69 minutes for both of these, whether it be a laparoscopic TEP or robotic TAP. What he did find, which I think all of us would agree, is the first few cases he did with the robotic TAP almost took him 2 hours. And by the end of his series, over 100 cases, he'd cut that in half to about an hour. So right away, and this isn't a learning curve study, but you can tell that there's some learning curve involved, even going from a laparoscopic TEP to a robotic TAP. Well, how about a surgeon that goes from a laparoscopic TAP, which you would think would be very similar to a robotic TAP? And again, this is a small study, but basically what this shows you is the operative time, and Scott alluded to this a little bit, but the operative time for robotic TAP is longer. And I do think this probably relates to somewhat of the learning curve, but I also think it relates to the difference in procedure. And he said this, but I think most people in the audience that are doing robotic TAPs are using suturing techniques to try to minimize cost. And there's no doubt that a suturing technique in this robotic is much longer than doing a tack fixation. So this is a most recent one. Our Dr. Ramaswamy was a part of this, but this is by a very experienced surgeon in Belgium that started doing robotic inguinal hernia repairs. And really, you can just get a sense, if you're an experienced hernia surgeon, whether it be open or laparoscopic, sort of what you're looking at for time. And you can see pretty early on, you can get your times down. His unilateral times for robotic inguinal hernia were 54 minutes, and then bilateral got those down to 78, and you can see there's a learning curve as he decreased that time over time. So what are we doing? And we're looking at the learning curve. We're trying to look at the learning curve. We measure all our time of operative cases. We do both laparoscopic open and robotic inguinal hernia repairs. And we have our surgeons and our residents fill out this NASA task load. It's kind of a cheap way to figure out how hard an operation may be for some people. And again, one of the benefits is we're looking at our residents who are sort of novices, and then one of my trauma partners is starting to do robotic inguinal hernia, so you've got a more experienced surgeon that's doing this. And we measure the time it takes us to insert the mesh and put three sutures, and then how long it takes us to close the peritoneum. So this is me early in my learning curve, I guess, a little over 30 cases. And you can see, again, not a huge... And I'm a TAP surgeon to begin with, so not a huge benefit from my first 30 cases. And you can see some of these are just random, and obviously it has to do with how hard the case may be. But you can see we can decrease our time to put in our mesh and suture to about 9 minutes. Closing the peritoneum, again, sort of the same. We get a little bit better as we go through 30 cases, 8 minutes. And it's interesting to look at the residents. This is over 50 cases with residents, and there's really no improvement over these 50 cases. But what you got to remember is this there's is a no different resident potentially in every case. And so it may be a second year one day, a third year, a fourth year, and that's probably why all these spikes are there. And that just goes to show you one of the difficulties in teaching robotic ingual on a hernia repair or any case by in looking at learning curve. And so you really have to be systematic about it. So this, and again, I don't mean to be a homer for the robot, but to me, this is a game changer for learning curve and for education when we talk about inguinal hernia repair. And for those of you who've done some of the inguinal hernia repair modules here or trying to teach residents inguinal hernias, the modules are not that good. There's really never been a great way to teach inguinal hernia except for doing them. And it is a great case to teach, especially bilateral. But the robotic simulation, which came out last year, I think is really going to change the way that we teach minimally invasive inguinal hernia repair, and not only visualizing the anatomy, which is part of the problem with the inguinal hernia repair, but just kind of learning the technique and the steps. And I think this is going to go a long way to help us reduce that learning curve with minimally invasive surgery for inguinal hernia repair. So in conclusion, lap inguinal hernia repair no doubt has a learning curve. And whether you believe it's 14 or 250 cases, it's likely somewhere in between, but it's a significant learning curve for everybody. And I think that's probably part of the reason it's limited adoption. It does depend on your skills with laparoscopic surgery, whether you're an open surgeon or a laparoscopic surgeon. We don't have a lot of great data on robotic learning curves, but hopefully there'll be more to come in the future. So thank you very much.